Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-7541. 854-7541 or call toll free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you today?
I'm very happy.
I'm just so excited. I just couldn't be happier, honest to God.
This has been the happiest week of my life.
Yeah, it's been great. I just think it's been great. I think it's great for the United States. That's the most important thing.
And that I agree with you totally.
If the election would have gone the other way, I think we would have been in trouble. I'm just waiting for all these people to leave. I'm going to miss Katy Perry.
No, if it had gone the other way, I'd be out there protesting, right?
I don't think so.
With Lady Gaga.
You have a job. You have a job. How can you be out protesting?
By the way, did Lady Gaga go to Canada yet?
I don't think
what?
Any of them. There have been a number of volunteers paying for their flights, but I think they all stayed.
It is Saturday, November 12th, 2016. It is 10:05 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, and if there's a sporting event, the show will be on after the sporting event. Also, we are available every Saturday morning, live streaming from 11 to 12 at our website, sapriston.com. That's SAPERSTON.com. And you can watch it live stream, listen to it live streaming, and most devices that connect to the internet. Also, our show is archived at the same website, so if you want to replay a show or you missed a show, you can go and catch the archive show. And if you totally can't sleep at night, you can listen to 3 years of shows if you'd like to, you know. But that'll put you to sleep, no question about that. So, you know, do go to the website, SAPERSTON.com. And also at the website, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy. And they go over whatever the latest interesting economic news of the week is, and I think they do a pretty nice job of it, pretty concise.
Well, now they're going to have to spin the information more to the conservative side, though. They've tried to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, that being unemployment and employment. And, you know, it's interesting. I like it. The best I get out of it is that there's a lot of current figures there, rates and questions on that in that regard. But, you know, they're like a lot of the press, they're a little bit befuddled by the election results. Everybody was ready for Hillary and you know, what she was going to do or not going to do. And I think they really had to backpedal and figure out. I think they had the headlines already written. what was it, in 48, Dewey wins was the headlines. And
that was a famous one, no question about right, that. And right. I'm sure they had their headlines all ready to go again. You know?
Well, in watching the results, and I've just always done that to the extent I can stay awake, liberals out there, they were just befuddled in shock. I was like, holy cow, he may win this. But when they announced about 9:30, 10 o'clock that the futures were down 600 points, that's when I said, looking back, I said, that's it. I think he's got a shot of winning this. But, ended up that way. And now the pressure's on he and the Republicans that are in Congress to try and do the right thing. It's a difficult job, so we wish him luck.
Right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. And interestingly, I was looking at, this week's Barron's, and, I had believed that if Hillary won, the market probably would rally, although it had rallied for the day previous, and Friday too, I think, 2 days previous. Mm-hmm. And I said, even if she wins, maybe it's already baked in with the rally that happened, right, before. But I expected, the market to have a, significant down day if Donald Trump won. And, the interesting thing about it is that I, too, during the night heard the futures down 800 points at one time. And actually, the Dow futures were lock limit down, mm-hmm, at one point, And it was...
This is well before opening, though.
Right. This is overnight. While the numbers are coming in, as the numbers are coming in. But they had a beautiful chart on the overnight results. And they had, in the morning, the market had been rallying in the futures market, because they expected, markets are giving Clinton an 80% chance of winning. Mm-hmm. 10 p.m. at night, Trump's odds overtake Clinton's for the first time as states like Michigan are too close to call. And the market now, the Dow has plunged the futures from 18,400 down to about 17,900, so it's down, mm-hmm, 500 points.
Right.
At midnight, Trump's odds climb well over 90%,
right,
as he gains ground in the key northern industrial states that once appeared safe for Clinton, and now the market is lock limit down. So from the high at 8 p.m. to the low, lock limit down was 1,000 Dow points. Mm-hmm. It was actually down 1,000. Now, when you put a futures market lock limit down, what does that mean? They don't stop trading.
Right.
What they do is they stop selling. They do not allow you to put any sell orders in, mm-hmm, but you can put buy orders in. And the market rallies a little bit because of that. No more sellers, and you can put buy orders in, so there's some buyers, okay? Now what?
They're called suckers, aren't they?
Okay. Well, they turned out not to be.
Right.
And the interesting part about that was that why did the market then, it had a rebound of about 400 points, after they went lock limit down. So now the Dow is at 17,800. Now why did it rally from 17,800 up to 18,500 after that? Because exactly at 3 a.m., Trump gives a conciliatory victory speech, and it sounded so good and so presidential that the market just skyrocketed at that point in time. And I heard all sorts of other stupid explanations for why the market went up, but that's the reason in the futures market, what really caused the rally in the futures market.
That's the answer. Okay.
So there you go. You can listen to all the other reasons for it.
But
you can always come up with a reason. Give us a call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go first to Pete in East Aurora. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Pete.
Gold is dead.
Good morning. What's that?
Gold is dead.
Jeez. How timely was that when you said you'd be worried if it broke, if the GLD
right,
broke 125?
Exactly.
I wish I'd have got out then.
Sometimes, they say a stop clock is right twice a day.
Blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while.
All sorts of platitudes there.
Yeah, there you go. Where do you see the support now for GLD?
Well, that is very interesting. The support for the GLD is, you know, the GLD closed at 117.10. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows if it could have a rally, but the next support would be 115. All right.
What I thought too. Yeah, I see good support there.
But if you take 115 out, mm-hmm. you are potentially vulnerable, worst case, to 105. Okay.
Yes.
Because there's nothing, you know, so.
There's nothing in between. No.
Yeah, well, 110, no. It might stop halfway in between, you know, but if you take 115 out, that'd be ugly, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fortunately, I don't have much left now.
Well, I guess that's...
stopped out the last couple of weeks.
I was going to say, that was either good or bad, depending on how you look at it. But
yeah. Another question mm-hmm. for you. The bank preferred stocks, they're looking pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you guys continue to hold? Are you considering maybe not keeping them, or what's your thought?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had, interestingly, one client call, and he wanted to come in, you know, to rediscuss, you know, discuss strategy going forward, right? And it was interesting. He said, I guess, you know, a lot of people must have called you. I said, no, you're the only one who called all day, you know, mm-hmm. you know, about anything, really. But what I said to him, and I still believe it true, I think you have to let the dust settle a little bit here. I mean, it's something to look at. I think everybody has jumped, and I think last week I covered Hillary Kramer, who, you know, has an advisory newsletter service.
Oh, I thought she married Jim Cramer.
No.
Hillary Clinton.
No,
okay, go ahead.
But anyway, Hillary and Jim, yeah. But anyway, and covered the areas that would benefit either way, you know, whoever won. And she covered, rightfully so, you know, what was going to be the infrastructure, the healthcare, the financials. And those stocks all skyrocketed.
That's if Donald won?
What?
That's if Donald Trump won.
No, it didn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, it did matter. If Donald won, infrastructure didn't matter.
Okay.
For both of them.
All
okay.
Right.
Healthcare, she said, really didn't matter because she felt that the worst had been done already to the healthcare stocks. So mm-hmm. that was her opinion.
Yeah, sure.
And obviously the financials didn't matter because interest rates were going up, you know. So anyway, there were a lot of things that she thought you could be in. And it turned out those were some of the – bottom line of all of that is, as I digress or don't digress, is that, you know, now everybody's jumped to the obvious areas. Will that continue?
I don't know. Pete, what
– I seriously doubt that. It's kind of misinformation when you say, oh, the market's up 300 points today and this and that. Well, the type of stocks that, you know, older people own and conservative investors are not coming with it. And I think you're right. I think the pendulum is going to switch back a little.
Well, it's possible.
We're still broke. Mm-hmm. He wants to do all this infrastructure stuff. We still don't have any money. We're still in debt.
Yeah, well that's why they're saying that now are people going to say, you know, because there are a lot of moderate Republicans who don't want to see the debt go up and that type of thing too, okay? So even though he's got the Congress, they may not go along totally either.
You know? But, you know, you can cut spending. You can streamline what has become an over-bloated, hoggish bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. Now, I'm not saying
absolutely.
I can do it, but there are people that can. But going back to your question regarding bank preferreds being not good, are you talking any ones in particular? I just...
The JPM.A, the HSBC.A, the CLNY.A.
But what's wrong with them?
Well, they're down. Well, let's put it this way: they're down in the last couple months as much as all the interest you're going to get out of them. Now, granted, they're not down below where they were 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm wondering, the trend is down.
Yeah, I'm just.
Well, there should be some pressure, obviously, with interest rates going up.
Well, interest rates went up. The 10-year Treasury went up 22% this week.
I mean, well, 22 basis points.
22%.
22%?
Yeah.
From what to what?
From 1.75 to 2.15 is 22% increase.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, that's quite a dramatic move, and that's more speculation than anything. But the idea of the preferreds, I mean, I'm just wondering because with that increase, I just bought several different ones. I will tell you, I haven't bought the financials because my one client in particular that loves preferreds has enough of financials in that. But I think it's a buying opportunity in here. And again, I'm having a difficult time bringing up that preferred on my phone. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think that I'm hoping that you're right. I'd like to get some more, but even the closed-end funds like the utility GUT, DNT.
Yeah, GUT. I just bought it yesterday. The C. Yeah.
GUT.
Yeah, it was down from last week. It was down a quarter, half a point. I just thought it was a value with the spike in interest rates. I'm not saying they won't go higher, but I just think it's short term. And I'm not trading these. I'm buying them for the yield. And
Well, that's why I own them too. And that's my question. I'm not trying to lead you into saying, oh, you got to put a stop here or something like that. I'm in those type of things for the yield, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And
Well, you know, while we're digressing, the bottom line is...
I wasn't digressing. I'm saying, Pete and I were having a good conversation.
Let's settle back. Don't make any big moves.
Absolutely.
Don't make any big moves right now, okay?
Right.
And let's see, what happens, all right? You know, in other words, don't go running in Monday morning and buying all the infrastructure stocks or, sit back and watch, you know.
Right, unless you're trading, Pete. You know, and that's not me, but, you know, some people that are trading, these are great markets to make some money.
Yeah, but you've had unbelievable moves. The Dow Jones is the only average that went to an all-time high.
And it went big to
an all-time high.
Yeah, it's up
7.2%. And why did it? Because it had... Industrial, financial, infrastructure, all those stocks are the ones that led the way.
So there's one of two things happening. They're way ahead, or the other ones have to catch up.
Exactly. So
I don't know either one. But I
think you give it several days or a week, and then let's see where we go from there.
I just think it was a great opportunity to buy some interest-sensitive securities. If you were looking to do so, this is what we do. We have a game plan. We look and see, and all of a sudden I was looking to do this, and just by chance, I'm not that smart, just by chance.
That I know.
But yeah, anyway, thank you. Yeah, I resemble it.
Right.
Interest rates went up a great deal, and I'm not saying they're going to go 10-year Treasury's not going back to 1.5, but there's a lot of speculation out there, a ton of speculation in this market, so interesting.
So where are we after all of that?
I think
you just sit back and watch and see, you know, how things start flowing. Do some of the things that jumped up unbelievably.
Here, what's the Fed going to do in December? There's a lot of speculation they don't have to do anything because the 10-year Treasury's already moved up.
Hard
are they worried about if they're going to be replaced? Listen, there's a ton of things you can talk about.
Well, you can't replace her because her term goes into 2018.
There's ways to do it.
No, you can't. You can't do
it. Donald can do it.
And even if you did, all right?
I know.
She stays on the Federal Reserve into 2024.
Right.
All right?
Right.
So.
No, I understand.
Yep. So, anyway.
Well, like we talked about a couple...
Do you have other callers right now?
I don't think so.
If you don't, I'd ask one more.
Yeah,
question.
There's 10 or 15 behind you, but please.
Yeah, I think we lost everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the person who called poor Nathan. I warned him last week. I said, after I discussed what about Trump and Clinton, I said, you're going to get calls. And Karen at work, Willard's wife said, did you hear that guy afterwards? And I said, no.
I have a question for you going back to 2008. Let's just pick Merrill Lynch out of the basket. I don't understand how it is that a brokerage firm like them would have gone under. I guess they had to give them to Bank of America. Would the clients ever lose that money, or is it separate, or were they somehow betting their clients' money, or how can a firm like that become insolvent?
Well, it was their own trading, really, you know, that did it.
Their own trading.
Yeah, they're not playing with clients' money. You know, there's no question about that, right?
But there are net capital requirements that they have to have.
Which they had to have, which were affected by what they were doing, right?
So, you know? And the decrease in securities.
Yeah.
The accounts that were there, or I guess will Bear Stearns went under too, what are they just farmed out to? Competing brokerages, people just go elsewhere.
You can hear silence. I don't know exactly how they do it, but they end up with other firms one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the accounts are there.
You got the SIPC. I mean,
all your accounts are whole, you know. So, you know, whether the government, I don't remember how they did it. Did the government say automatically this goes here or whatever happens? I don't know.
I blocked out that period. I don't either.
Believe me, it's no reflection on you. I'm just one of these guys that likes to prepare for the absolute worst.
There you go.
Basically, your accounts are whole. I mean, you know, there's no question about that.
And one more question regarding that. Is there any place to put your quote-unquote cash where it is not rehypothecated, either in a money market or, you know, the bank lending it out? If you have cash, let's say in Wells Fargo, do they rehypothecate it then?
Well, I mean, if you have cash in a money market,
or a savings account?
I know it is in a money market. If you have cash in a brokerage account held by a bank or whatever.
In a brokerage account, cash just sitting there as cash, you're saying?
Yes.
I don't know. It's a good question. As far as I know, I don't think so, but I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because I don't know too many people who have cash. Most people have all of their uninvested money in money markets.
Well, it depends. When we open an account, we have a choice with the client, you know, advise, you know, do you want any of your dividends that come in either reinvested or to go to a money market? There is a choice of just leaving it in cash.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I don't know that many people that do that. I don't have any either, you know, so.
Of course, with what the money market is paying you, it's almost an insult anyway. It almost seems pointless to me.
Well, it is what it is. It's going to go up a little bit, but it's not enough to be significant. I don't think it'll make much of a difference. So.
And the other thing, I mean, even if you're not earning anything, the reason you have money sitting there is to take advantage of opportunities eventually. That's why that's why it's there.
Well,
you know?
Sure. No.
So are you thinking, is this question based on a philosophical difference that there might? No?
Well, yes. During a financial crisis, what if you can't get your money out of a money market.
Yeah, got it.
Let's say you want to take it and you want to put it under the mattress, you want to bury it, you want to put it in a safe deposit box. It's just for earning, 0.1%? Is that other layer, the next layer of illiquidity worth it? I guess that's the question.
I don't know, and I guess you would have to answer that for yourself. I mean, you know, basically, I figure if everything get that serious, well.
Yeah, in the 80s, I worked at Cheerson, and there was a gentleman who was in his 70s that actually worked when you would put the prices of stocks up on the chalkboard, and he talked about it being a kid. And so he had a lot of coins and gold, and I asked him, I said, why do you have all this? So, you know, because he would. We'd chit-chat, and, you know, I'd pick his brain about things. And why do you have all that gold? He goes, well, in the time of real need, you know, the dollar may not be worth anything, but I know I can buy a loaf of bread with some gold. So that thinking goes along with what you're saying to a certain extent.
Yeah. Just how fungible that gold or silver will be is another matter. And
after yesterday, cash too.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I mean, if the world ends, the world ends. So what?
There you go. That sews it up.
So what?
What a philosophy. Right.
Well, I'll let you go.
Okay.
Thank you. Good questions.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling. Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. Lines are wide open right now.
I'm a little surprised.
But
I don't know if the phones aren't working. I'm sure they are because Pete just called. But, you know, I think this just shows at least our listeners, the ones that normally call in, I don't think there's a lot of questions. I think people are very happy, satisfied. But this is a time where you really need to make sure your portfolios are doing what you want them to do. You've got to be aware that there could be some different shakeups coming. I mean, there's a lot of questions regarding this. People, you know, as much as we talk about you know, them not being ready, I know myself, my inbox was inundated from the different money managers. Oh, this is what we do now. This is what we do now. I don't think any of them believed it, to be honest with you. I mean, the Dow had almost a 1,200 point round trip, you know, during, you know, with Donald Trump
with
being
the
elected.
Night and so forth. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in the
gold
end,
gold was down $40 yesterday. There should be inflation coming back if we're going to get this growth. Why is gold down $40?
Well, I can give
speculation.
I'll pull it out of my bag of reasons. Let's see. You know, it's like a Chinese menu. Take it off A or B, right? You know, so I'll take it off.
Isn't it an Asian menu?
No.
Okay.
When you used to go to Chinese restaurants,
okay,
and it was A, B, you pick one from A, you pick one from B.
Yeah, I know. I'm just,
am I being politically incorrect here?
I don't know. I'm getting hungry, though. You're saying Chinese food. I'm really
but hungry. No, I mean, people had, you know, run into gold, all right, expecting the worst, all right? In other words, the whole world was going to panic because Donald Trump was going to win, okay? And the uncertainty, so you flee because of the uncertainty. And then, like I say, after he made that nice concession speech, they said, oh, and that was it. They had to run for cover. When everybody runs to one side of the boat, you know what happens.
So
right?
it's yeah. Trading is
right.
What's
exactly.
Going on.
Yeah. And plus,
and it's overdone.
Somebody else, you know, at a trading website I listened to, he says, everybody goes and they give all these reasons. He says, human beings don't run the stock markets anymore.
It's machines.
Machines run the stock market. So you try to explain why machines are doing what they're doing, all right? You know, machines don't think. They just do, okay? You know.
Artificial intelligence is going to take over the world.
Whatever.
We have to worry about that.
So, I mean,
I'm telling you.
And that's it. Machines are running things when you see the big moves. But you have to admit that was the shortest Brexit decline ever.
Right. Well, we didn't really.
Yeah. Somebody has said that to me. You think it's going to be like Brexit, you know? And I said, well, it could be. It, you know, depends on what Donald Trump does and says and who he's putting in place. And if he does that all quickly, which he's been doing, I said it might be a different situation and it might not be as long as Brexit, you know? And it certainly wasn't. And you didn't get advantage to take advantage of anything, right? You know, so give us a call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
I was trying to stay awake. How could I take advantage of it?
That's the first time I ever stayed up all night for an election, ever, because it was like a football game. Oh, they're leading by 14. Uh-oh, back to 7.
There you go.
Yep. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go to Rich in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, we're hanging in there.
That's good.
With Trump knocking the technology stocks, in particular Apple, what do we see with Apple?
What do we see? It went down. Well, you know, you can make arguments all sorts of different ways. You know, they think Trump hates Silicon Valley, all right? And, you know, so that's one thing. I see that in the news, you know. But there's another reason why a lot of these companies went down, because people ran to the other alternatives, all right? So if you were an investor or you were buying Apple, Google, Amazon, all these stocks, Facebook, all right, you were buying them because they were the hot growth areas and nothing else was going to grow. All of a sudden you wake up and you say, oh my God, they're going to pour money into infrastructure. They're going to pour money here. So all the money left those areas, temporarily maybe, and ran to the infrastructure and so forth. That's what I think happened, all right?
When you say ran to the others, what do you, in particular, who?
Well, I'm saying Caterpillar, steel stocks. Take a look at industrials. I mean, take a look at the financials. Take a look at what some of the drug stocks did. All right, the Pfizers, the Lillys.
The banks are up 3-4%.
Well, the banks, that's interest rates. But they ran to the healthcare things, and they had dramatic rallies, all right?
That's because Hillary had threatened and capping the prices on drugs.
Right, but I'm just saying that's why money left the areas that they perceived before as the only hope for growth, okay?
Got it.
Right? And now they're saying, oh, my God, we're going to have growth. And, you know, and look at the defense stocks, all right? Yeah. You know,
they're also afraid Donald Trump is going to tell them they have to get out of China, and therefore the products being made are going to be more expensive, and that'll decrease their profits on that.
But let's look at the other side of Apple, okay? If Donald Trump is really going to let them repatriate their money, all right, at a very low rate, Apple's a big beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
So there's a lot of companies now that are looking at and saying, what are the companies that have tons of monies overseas that could really benefit? And then all the money's will start running in that direction, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's
computer-based trading, so there's no doubt.
Yeah,
the money.
But you know, that's the bottom line of it, and the perception, the shifts, and so forth. You know, so Apple got hit. But it's still in an uptrend, you know.
Yeah. Donald Trump just tweeted.
I got four other guys that are down for me. GE, AT&T, Pepsi-Cola, and Verizon. What do we see with those four guys?
Well, I think GE should be okay because GE did have a nice rally, okay? You know, the perception's running into that. It's an industrial company. And I think GE should benefit, you know, no question about it. It's not as strong as a lot of other Dow stocks are because, you know, Dow went to an all-time high and GE's far from that.
Right.
So, but it had a nice rally. I would stick with GE right now. You know, I mean, it looks like it could head up to the, you know, low 32, 33 area.
AT&T doesn't look good, Peter. What do we see there?
Well, the problem with AT&T is it's a safe haven dividend stock, and when interest rates going up, that's a problem.
Right. Same with Verizon is somewhat of a little more growth, but still.
I mean, you're hearing everybody on the papers now and everything saying the safe stocks are no longer the place to be. You know, so if I look at AT&T, and I told somebody before they wanted to buy a little, and they thought 36, I said, yeah, 36 is support, but if not, look to buy it around 33, 34.
Okay. So Pepsi?
Pepsi. PEP. Yeah, see, it's another one of the safe stocks, you know. So, like I say, you're not going to know for a week or whatever. You know, was this just a temporary jump that everybody just jumped like rats leaving the ship, I guess?
You know, I think we're going to get a pullback, not a correction type of pullback, but, you know, the euphoria of what's going on. I think we're going to see some type of pullback, and that'll give us an opportunity if you're looking to buy. And I am with some clients, so I've bought some interest-sensitive stocks, but looking to buy some more growth with decent dividends, I'm just waiting a little. So,
but if it looks like it's obvious that this is now a permanent shift, as much as permanent is, then you have to watch out for these safe haven stocks, you know, like the Pepsis and, you know, the Cokes and all of these the food stocks and mm-hmm. so forth. All right.
Well, when you say watch out, you're basically
I mean these things have gone up a lot. Okay. You know,
but if I get you right, you're saying if they raise the prime, that people wouldn't be as in love with these stocks.
It's the perception if interest rates go up, okay,
right?
That the dividend yields are not that enticing. Okay.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah, but still, the most they're going to raise it. Is a quarter. To
well,
ten.
I agree. You could
at least pay in 3%, 4%.
That's a laggard rate. Rates are already up.
Huh?
Interest rates are already up in the last 2 weeks. So the Fed raising by a quarter is a laggard rate. Its rates have already gone up.
Yeah,
so there's no surprise.
Well, a lot. No, I mean, like you just said, that the 10-year bond went 22%. Up 22%, all right, the rates.
In a week.
So, I mean, if a 10-year bond's paying you, what is it, 2.15. All right, you're starting to get pretty competitive with a lot of those dividend yields, all right?
Okay. I see where you're going there.
Right.
Okay.
Jeffrey Gundlach, who's now the new bond king, was on CNBC on Friday. He's a Buffalo kid. He said, you know, you're looking at, you know, I don't know, 230 and you know, as a very top of the 10-year treasury. So, you know, it's pretty much going to level off at some point. Will it go down? Right. It might go down a little, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you look at these companies. You look at Pepsi. You know, Pepsi broke its 200-day moving average. Okay,
would it close 106?
And it
something.
Closed. I don't know 103, I think somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 103.19.
Yeah, 19.
Yeah,
and you know, so breaking the 200, you know, you have to be paying attention to that.
Same
right?
with Verizon too.
Yeah, and you know, so Pepsi could have come back down into the 90s. Yeah, it could. You know, if that doesn't concern you, then fine, you know.
Oh, okay. Hey, our Giants are hanging in there at 5-3.
Amazing.
Well, you know, Peter, maybe they're not much better than mediocre, but other than one or two, who is?
Well, that's a good point. I guess I can always say, you know, when I'm feeling bad, they always say, well, the other person's worse off, you know.
Except for maybe Dallas and Oakland or New England and the other conference, nobody's going to scare you.
Oh, no. I just, like I say, as a Giant fan.
You're hard on them.
I'm very hard on them. They've never been a dominant-type team, you know. No.
They won two Super Bowls recently with Eli, plus the fact that one year they were 11-1 at one point where what's-his-name was nice enough to shoot himself in the leg. And that year they might have even been better than any of the
teams. No. I should not say never. I mean, I'm saying for quite a few years now. Okay.
Well, they're 4-1 in the Super Bowl. The Bills are
4-4. Well, I agree. Because when I give people listen to me giving them a hard time, they say, well, at least you guys won a couple of Super Bowls, right?
Yep. That's it.
Okay.
Take care of you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Good talking to you.
Thanks. Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or toll free, 800-879-7541. This today is a political, sports, and maybe a financial show.
Okay.
Take care. Okay, we're going to go to Victor next. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm waiting for Tony from Amherst. Yeah, this guy's been chirping. Chirp on every radio station he can get his hands on. He was actually calling the electoral. 316 for Hillary, 160 for Trump, and I'm not a political guy at all. But now the election comes, and he's gone in his corner. He's under the mattresses, and he's not chirping anymore. The chirper has stopped chirping.
No, he'll be on right after us.
Oh, well, good. I want to hear his explanation. All right, that's my first fixed.
You know, it's rigged.
You know what the explanation was?
What?
The election was rigged.
Classic chirper. You know, the kids chirp. All right, Tony. All right, question, Dave. You're an interest rate bond kind of guy. Well, going forward, TLT versus intermediate term treasuries versus a muni bond, a mutual fund. What do you like, and why? Would there be much variance with interest rates stable or going up just a little bit on those? How would an investor look at the three for differences? I mean, I'm going to be dollar cost averaging in a non-retirement account. Non-retirement.
I
got tax concerns. How would you contrast those three? TLT versus intermediate government treasuries versus intermediate term munis.
Okay, and so. Go ahead, Pete.
And what you're missing in all of that, okay, and if you read Jeffrey Gundlach, you know, know what he's been putting significantly in his bond fund? Tips.
Tips.
Right.
Are you going to get a big bang with the tips? I mean, I look at a 10-year chart on tips, and you don't seem like you get the fluctuation.
Because you haven't had inflation.
Okay, so you, there's a big bang out there.
But all they're saying is that tips will go down less, they're believing, than the regular bond will go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
With interest rates going up. Right,
yeah.
Right. But I think everybody's so well set for this. In talking about tax-exempt bond funds, we've seen yields drop. The Rochester Fund, which is a Oppenheimer fund that buys for yield. They're not a growth fund like Putnam and Franklin, New York tax exempts, or they call it a total return fund, whereas Rochester Fund is simply in it for the yield.
Mm-hmm.
All of these funds, intermediate and long term, have reduced their duration, the amount that a fund will go down or up based on interest rates going up or down 1%. So Rochester Fund, the duration used to be in the high teens. I think at one time, 18, 19, it's now 6.5 to 7. So they've really structured their portfolios not to have a great deal of volatility if interest rates are to go up 1%. And that's 1% over a period of a couple months, as opposed to 0.25% a year for 4 years. And just coincidentally, speaking of that, I spoke to their internal folks on Friday because they've got a reduction in their dividend. And what's happening is that they're losing 4% and 5% bonds that they had, and they have to go out and replace them with 1% and 2% bonds. So you're going to see, again, that duration even being less. So if you're investing for growth, I don't think you're going to see it in a fund. Buying tips or, an intermediate treasury, I don't think you're going to get any kind of growth out of that either. But are you looking just for yield, or, Victor, are you looking for growth also?
I want something to balance against, say, if I'm going 60-40, funds or common stock versus I want something on the opposite end of 40 fixed income that I'm going to start doing it probably first of the year, averaging in over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably going to rebalance every 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, would you go and a 40%? Would you go 100% tips, or would you do a
no.
different?
Well, I'm not 100% any guy. I like to hedge my bets and spread it out. So I would probably look at going, you know, a third in the tips, a third in a 10-year treasury, intermediate treasury,
mm-hmm.
and then looking at something that's tax exempt. But I think you'd have to look at a short-term tax exempt fund. And again, I'm thinking mm-hmm. that we're going to see an increase in interest rates. I don't think it's going to be rapid,
mm-hmm.
but I would just, knowing that, you know, you're giving up a bit in the yield for that safety factor. So, again, just if you're looking at a fund, it's tough to go out and buy intermediate treasuries, Victor. I don't know if you've looked at them. I haven't bought an individual municipal bond in 4 or 5 years. There's just no inventory out there that we can get our hands on.
So if I go third tips, third munis, third intermediate term federal, that would be a
treasury.
Treasuries.
Yep. That's exactly what I would do. And again, you're rebalancing every 6 months. I do it 3 months
really?
If you have the ability to do it. So
Okay. And then the other question with the munis, would you go just strictly New York, because there's Vanguard's got a New York only, or would you go just entire USA muni?
It depends on your tax bracket. To be honest with you, I don't think it really matters. If you go to a national fund,
right. You're
going to get a better return. But depending on what their portfolio, how it's structured, you may have to pay some New York State income tax on
okay.
it. So.
Okay, very good. Hey, yeah. good show, guys.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
The
good
call
good,
very
good,
much.
Good question.
Okay. Phone number's the call, 803-1520. It's 803-1520. Or toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Paul and Sloan. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, AEPGX, Euro-Pacific Growth Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Things getting killed.
Well, part of the problem with that, once again, was the perception with Trump, okay, that he's going to do all of this protectionist moves, all right?
Mm-hmm. No, this thing went down.
Oh, even before that it was going down,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, it's been going down. And then I think Europe is really, really, really killing it, really driving it.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see. What was that again? AEP?
That's the American funds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the symbol on that?
AEPGX.
AEPGX, yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, on the point and figure chart, it doesn't look terrible.
How long are you going back where you're saying it's getting killed? Yeah. I don't, you know.
My last statement came in, you know, and I went and checked, and it's down for the year, too, you know. And then I took a look at Europe, and there was the problem. You know, Europe is down. Mm-hmm. You know, with all that, what's that, Brexit or whatever it's going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the time period? Was this a September statement? Or was it a quarterly statement, Paul?
Yeah, quarterly statement.
Yeah, well, you've probably missed some of the growth that you saw, we've seen in October and November.
Well, how long have you had the fund, though?
Forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm looking back in 2011, it was around 30. And it went up to 50.
What do you think in general is going to happen with international funds?
Well, I think
the international market, basically.
Yeah, I mean everybody's trying to parse out what's going to happen now. You know, with the new president in place, mm-hmm. right? And it's hard to say because I already see he's doing some backtracking. You know,
I know what's going to happen.
For
the majority of my clients, I have been out of the international and emerging markets for probably 8 years now. I have been slowly getting back in, but I'm looking at, 5 to 10% of portfolios. I think that's where the big money's going to be made. They're going through with their quantitative easing what we went through. This is Europe specifically, what we went through in 2008. They may not have the rapid increase that we did over those past 7-8 years, but I think it's a value there. I don't know your portfolio. I don't know if you got 100% in there or 5%.
No.
Yeah, but I think it's a great value, and it is one of the better international funds.
Emerging markets are doing very well.
Yeah, a lot of speculation with it, but I just think it's good to have some in those areas. But again, I was void, zero, nil, nothing. I wanted nothing to do with it, and I've started getting back in. And again, I like to diversify, so I just think it's a great area to be in. And I don't look at short-term moves, so...
Yeah. I was just wondering because I noticed, the last 6 months or so that things have been a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's going on with Corning?
Well, Corning. Haven't had anybody ask that in a while.
GLW. Well, they came out with a good earnings report, I guess, and but their revenues were down, and the stock got beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, the interesting thing with Corning is that, the last few years, every time it got up in the 23 to 25 area, that was it. You know, so what you really need is this stock to hit 26, and you'd have a thing that would really move then, because it's built up a long trading period for many, many years.
Okay? Right, it's basically a 45-degree angle going up from, last 6 months or so, and it keeps on going.
The chart still looks okay, mm-hmm. But you're playing, you're betting now, if you're holding it, that you're going to take out that old high at 25.
Right.
They need some innovation over there. They need some new products.
Yeah, I mean they need something, what they call a catalyst, right? Yeah. Catalyst to get it going, something new to come along.
Close at 2340.
Yeah, and every time it's gone up to this 23 to 25 area, it's been a sale. So you just watch it very carefully in here.
We're gonna live and die with Gorilla Glass.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
The gorilla might kill you. Well, look at guys. Appreciate your help.
No problem.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay. Phone numbers to call. We got time for one or two more calls. 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll free 800-879-7541. And as I say, don't make any dramatic moves. If you haven't done anything right now, okay.
Right.
You know, watch the market a little bit, you know, so you can make a decision as to really what's going on. Has there been a permanent change in the way the investments are going to go? Because we've talked, a lot of this is machine trading, too. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how it's really all going to shake out in the end. And what's obvious sometimes is the wrong way to go.
Right, right.
And, you know, right now the Dow is up 8% for the year, right? It's beating the S&P, which is up about 6%,
and
NASDAQ's only up 4.5% and 3.5%, NASDAQ 100. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Russell 2000 small caps, which have been doing terrible, are now the leaders. Mm-hmm. They're up 10%, you know, 10% for the year.
No, these are dramatic moves in a very short period of time. I think people don't realize it.
Oh, yeah, the small caps were up almost 13% last week. Yeah. You know, so right now, we're going to go to Vic in Williamsville. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Guys, how you doing?
Okay.
Good. This is the other Vic.
He's Victor.
Right.
Yeah. Just want to say that the significance of the election cannot be understated. Had Hillary won, we would have been one step closer to being another Greece.
Unbelievable. I mean, I agree that, you know, you would have been voting for the same, which is ridiculous. And, you know, I had said many years ago, you remember what the Democratic Party was called, right? The Democratic Socialist Party, right? That's really what they are, okay? And you would have been a little step closer to the Democratic Communist Party, but that's my opinion. But anyway.
Yeah, well, now, you know, Bernie Sanders is talking about running in 2020. And I think had he run, who knows, you know.
Well, to be honest with you, he might have won. I hate to say it, but he might have won. You
know, well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if Trump is going to become a good president. Odds are that he will be. But he's going to have some roadblocks, and I have some misgivings about him. Probably a lot of misgivings, but you know he's better than the other person. That's for sure.
He's got 2 years to get it done if he can get it done. And you know if Hillary would have won, there would have been more stagnation. So my biggest concern was the Supreme Court. That's just
me personally. And the fact that we don't have to talk about climate change for a while. That's great. You know. By the way, I saw a story where John Kerry is going to the Antarctic to see it before the ice melts in the next 2 years. I guess he wants to be down there to see it one last time. So you know, hope he stays down there too.
Well, I hope I hope he sinks in it. You know? But anyway, yeah.
just a couple of quick questions.
Right.
David, you were talking about looking at interest-sensitive stocks. On Friday, I actually bought some Duke, and it looked like it bounced off the downtrend line, and it's paying almost 4.6% dividend. And I was shocked when I saw that dividend. And I looked at the particulars of the company. It looks pretty good. So, you know, I don't know what you think about utilities, but, you know, it seems to me if in fact, interest rates are going to be leveling off, this might be a really great time to buy utilities.
No, it's possible, but you have to recognize that, you know, having broken the where it is, the real support's around 65, 66.
Okay. A bit lower than that.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit lower.
Yeah.
Okay. It looked like support was like around 70.
I'm just not a big utility buyer. I did buy the Gabelity Utility Preferred, GUT.C, on Friday, and I just like the Gabelli management with their preferreds. So, I have some National Fuel, and I've got a couple of clients with Grid and this and that. Just in my career in this business, I've just not had a lot of good luck with.
Yeah, and a possible other real negative is the fact that a while back it broke its 200-day moving average, rallied back to it, couldn't get above it, and then plunged. You know, so there is downside risk to the mid. Doesn't mean it'll go there, but there is risk to the mid 60s.
But I think you bought it Friday. You said,
I
think for the short term, I think you're probably okay, and not from a technical standpoint, but just with interest rates. So
yeah, okay, take a look at that. By the way, Peter, did you see NVIDIA yesterday?
Oh my God, Oh, my God.
30% in one day.
I was thinking about you there.
that's amazing. That, you know what? Yeah, it's...
We all should have put every cent we owned in that stock.
As usual, Peter, you're late.
But now you got to watch out, you know, fiduciary responsibility. But you know,
it's going to be. It might be changed.
Yeah,
so
yeah, hopefully.
No,
yeah.
But
all right. Good talking to you guys.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
Take care. Thank you very much for calling. Okay. We're the last minute of the show. Don't make any sudden moves. You know, think very carefully about what you're doing in here and. You know, and you'll have a little bit of time, I think, you know, to decide, you know, which way to head. So, you know, as we always say, try to develop a game plan now.
You know, well, you should look.
If you don't have one, try to develop a game plan.
You should be able to get online with
your
account.
You know, Willard always kids me. He says, you Barron's is the be-all. It's not the be-all and end-all. It gives you ideas. You don't jump because you read it, right?
You like it because it's got pictures.
And it's got, I always like pictures. But anyway... So, you know, if you get a chance, you know, maybe pick up this week's Barron's. They have all sorts of people's opinions about what'll be good, you know,
sure.
And that type of thing. And like I say, just because it's there, don't jump, you know. So, unfortunately, Tom, I think we only have a minute. We could try Tom for a minute, but I don't know if we...
Hey, that's all.
Yeah, what's up?
That's all I need is a minute.
Okay.
All these guys get on the phone. That's why nobody's calling. They're on for a half hour.
You can call. You know, we'll go to you next.
No, everybody, you know, everybody got to just buy what you use.
All right. That's a Peter Lynch philosophy there. Very good.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Appreciate the call. Okay.
Thank you. Right.
Okay. Till next week, keep a little powder dry. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.